Hello, I'm Aiden Laird on Turning the Page. This episode is called Dead Bird on the Courtroom, an episode on how Harper Lee's To Kill a Mockingbird exposes the prejudice of courtrooms today. Today we'll be talking about how To Kill a Mockingbird, the old book that we all read in high school, and using it to expose prejudice and the weaknesses of our courtroom. We're talking about courtrooms and how safe they are, and when I mean safe, I mean how safe is it from prejudice, and how does prejudice affect sentencing and the matters discussed in court. In To Kill a Mockingbird, you see a pretty good defense by Atticus, but because of the fact that the jurors couldn't see past the skin color of Tom Robinson, and so they said that he was guilty, even though there was very serious doubt to whether or not he, Tom Robinson, had committed the crime. To Kill a Mockingbird, however, is a fictional book written in 1960, so how could this be relevant? You can look at cases very recently, such as Kavanaugh v. Ford, Flower v. Mississippi, and the Virginia House of Delegates versus Bethune Hill. Each of these cases had a varying degree of prejudice involved in the case. In Kavanaugh v. Ford, Ford accused Kavanaugh of sexually assaulting her when she was at a high school party or a high school house party. The problem was no one, not even her best friend, remembers Kavanaugh. This is sexist because of the fact that it kind of sets a precedent, and I'm glad that Ford did not win, that it kind of sets the precedent that people can be accused even if there is no evidence. In Flower v. Mississippi, Curtis Flowers was accused in 1996 of four murders. Since his arrest, Flowers has seen six separate jury trials. The first three ended in overturned convictions on because of prosecutorial misconduct in all three, while the fourth and fifth ended in a mistrial, and the sixth trial found Flowers guilty of all four crimes and was sentenced to death. The jury was formed with only one African-American juror, and it was only one after five had been challenged and dismissed because of the fact that they were because of the color of their skin. Flowers appealed to the Mississippi Supreme Court again, arguing on the peremptory challenges, and the Mississippi Supreme Court upheld the verdict. Flowers petitioned the United States Supreme Court, who summarily remained the case to the Mississippi Supreme Court and told the court to review the peremptory challenges under the Batson challenge, established in the case Batson v. Connecticut. This is racist because of the fact that he wasn't being represented by his peers, and which is the exact point of a jury and a trial by jury. In Virginia House of Delegates v. Bethune Hill, this case arose when Virginia voters filed a lawsuit to challenge the 12 new legislative districts drawn up by the controlling Republican legislative bodies in 2011. As unconstitutional racial gerrymandering. Now, gerrymandering is kind of like when you try to make it so that your area, at least, it's a way to discriminate against people whenever they're voting, and it's usually trying to help your side or you get reelected. Anyways, so as unconstitutional racial gerrymanders, at the trial, a three-judge panel from the United States District Court for the Eastern District of Virginia ruled that the race was not a predominant factor in the creation of the 11 districts. The panel held that the race predominates only that there is an actual conflict between the traditional redistricting criteria and race. Basically, what they're saying is kind of like race isn't the reason why, it's because of other factors. The three-judge panel also held that the race was a predominant factor for the boundaries of the remaining district, District 75. Though the panel held that the legislative did not violate the Equal Protection Clause when drawing the district because legislature's use of race was narrowly tailored to compelling state interest. So basically what they're saying is race was a predominant reason why they kind of moved the district in the way they did, but it's for the state's interest and not to gerrymander. The panel explained that 55% of the racial target was necessary for the District 75 to avoid diminishing the ability of black voters to elect their preferred candidates, which at the time would have violated five of the Voting Acts of 1965. New court order redistricting maps were prepared, which gave Democrats an edge in future elections. This is kind of the case itself isn't racist, but the case itself has a lot of racial views in it. And you see that when people were generally trying to get their votes skewed in their favor. So these cases are similar in the way that they show kind of the exposing the weaknesses of the courtroom is you see that when you talk about the Flowers v. Mississippi, you see that they were really trying to hinder the rights of Flowers. And so because of that fact, you're not really getting all the pictures. And a lot of these cases deal with minorities being denied rights and politicians kind of wanting to cut minorities out in order to get things in their favor. And with To Kill a Mockingbird, Tom Robinson was denied his right to a fair trial because of the fact that he was black. And that is a very racist idea. Or not the idea, but it's a very racist that he didn't get a fair trial. Now, it's a little different because of the fact that racism and sexism have moved from outright ruling in the white person's favor because of the fact that they are white, to removing rights of people in certain groups because they are a minority and don't have enough finances, experience, or flat out don't know any different because of the fact that they hadn't lived without their rights removed. And so, in conclusion, racism and sexism within courtrooms has always been a problem, with rights and people groups being undermined or more likely to get worse sentences in court and many other things. To Kill a Mockingbird showed the original way of racism, and that racism was shown in the courtroom. And this has now evolved to trying to make sure that minorities do not have rights within the courtroom and within our country. And that's a really sad thing, but and I'm glad there are people who are trying to make a difference and trying to reform the courtroom, and I definitely think that there needs to be a court reform. This is all our time. I'm Aiden Laird, and you're listening to Turning the Page.